Rise and Climb with Anna, as I share stories of hope and healing through hardship to help you overcome the obstacles you face today. Whether you are a teen, single adult, parenting, or just simply learn best through stories, this podcast will keep you inspired to answer to the call to rise and climb to any occasion life throws at you. Enjoy. All right, tonight we are back with the hubby.
Hola.
Hopefully he's talking close enough to the mic. And the kids are in bed, supposedly. In their bedroom.
We'll likely get interrupted.
Sure, we'll get interrupted, but we're doing this. So last week, Michael, or 2 weeks ago by the time this is aired, Michael shared his story, kind of a wake-up moment for him. You should go back and listen to it. And then tonight, I thought we would do my story of what kind of set me up to dating you. And that's calling off a wedding. And that's in the title. So that's no surprise. But Michael is going to be the interviewer.
Yes. And I'm not going to say I'm going to do a great job, but it's my first one. So
I'm not going to lie. I'm really nervous. It's like handing over a baby for the first time that you leave and you just kind of want to step in and say, no, don't do that. So
let's be honest, I'm not going to have much to say. It's going to be more directing you.
Someone said I interrupted you a lot during your story.
Sounds about right.
I knew you would say
that. She always needs to chime in.
Well, it's because I knew you were forgetting parts, so
that you wanted included.
Well, yeah, that I like. So now you get to do that to me.
I'll try to keep you on track.
Okay, so start it off, honey.
Oh, gosh. I thought you were just going to go in and I was going to direct you, but
no, you have to.
So, I guess, what part of your life are you sharing today?
Oh, my God.
Well, I know there's a, because you're not going to share the whole, your whole life. Okay. So, this is the period between senior year of college and you calling off the wedding.
Yes. Okay. So, this is my calling off the engagement story. Okay. So, okay. Do you want me to just start?
Well, yes, share.
Okay. So I do like to set up my senior year. I decided to not date anybody. Now you think, oh, was I dating a lot of people in college? The answer is no. I don't even know that I really dated one person in college. I mean, okay, so when you become a Christian, you don't really date. You get, you DTR, you determine their relationship, and you get to know. So there were a few.
I missed that one completely. Yeah, so.
You did, because you went from douchebag to me. Lucky me. So So there were a few guys that, like, I was getting to know, but I wouldn't. I mean, I'm a catch, so it was very hot commodity. But nobody I really, like, officially was dating, I would say.
Okay.
But my senior year, I was really getting the itch and almost becoming obsessed with wanting a boyfriend. And I really felt like it was an idol. And so I decided to just give up the idea. Like, I wouldn't date my senior year because I wanted to focus on me and single life and, like, living it up to the fullest without worrying about a boyfriend. And that was so cool and freeing. I probably read all the Christian dating books back then. That, you know, me.
So
and,
you didn't give it up. You
me,
just
me and Jesus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was like dating Jesus. Okay. Which I wasn't, but that's a saying. That's hilarious. So it was really great. Now, I would say right after I decided to just give over my dating life to God and, you know, hang up the hat that wasn't really worn in college, I did meet somebody I really liked, but I, like, just really prayed about it, and that, like, fizzled out. So that was good. So come to my last. Now, like, before, okay, so my senior year, I was in campus ministry, and there's a family that basically was in my life, and the mom kind of discipled me, and she was telling me about her son who graduated early from La Crosse and moved to Alaska, and I was like, good for you. And I think it was around Thanksgiving time he came home, and she invited me to dinner, and I think it was to set us up. I don't know that for sure.
Why, you don't think it was to set you up? Man, are you gullible.
Wow, okay, right. So,
oh, I have a single son who just moved to Alaska, and I'm just randomly going to invite you over the same night he's home.
Yeah, I was really naive because I was not into him. Like I was because I was dating Jesus. I wasn't looking for anybody. I do remember him walking me outside though, and him, you know, saying like, "Oh, look at the stars," you know, and thinking, okay, okay. I got to get back. Me and Jesus got a date. So I do remember that. And I do remember him trying to reach out and thinking, no, not into you. So that, fast forward to that spring break. So a few months later, I went kind of secret mission place it was a mission trip during spring break. Is to protect the Christians there because it's a persecuted mm-hmm. country. And so I remember him reaching out and trying to ask me about it. And I thought, fine, if you want to hear about the trip, I'll tell you about the trip. So I scheduled a phone call with him, and I was doing dishes in my kitchen at school. And I talked to him, and it went well. I was like, oh, he's kind of interesting. Okay. And then I don't know if we like scheduled the next time. And I was like, okay. Thinking, okay, I said I wasn't going to date. So we just kind of, I realized like he was a great guy and did a lot of interesting things. And I was like, okay. But now I'm getting into the last month of college. And I was going to deploy to Iraq with my National Guard unit in almost a few weeks after I graduated. I was going to, like, prep to leave. And so it got to the point where I felt kind of pressured to really decide if I liked him enough to pursue this. Because it wasn't like, oh, maybe we'll get to know each other over the summer. I was leaving in a few weeks. And getting to know somebody over deployment long distance is a commitment. So it really felt that this relationship was kind of an all or nothing right from the beginning. So he came from a great family. He checked all the boxes, adventurous, had a job.
You know. Big job for you because.
You didn't.
No, I didn't. I'm more thinking that I know when you got out of college and you came home, how you worked for like nothing for a year. You made like $300. Yeah. So in true. A year. So that's why I was more laughing about the job.
After thing, deployment. But. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. That is. Yeah, exactly. If somebody could make money, that was great. I interned for the church. So, okay. So we decided that he was going to come down and visit me intentionally to like, see if this was a real deal type of thing. And that went well, because he's a really interesting guy, great guy. Mm-hmm. And so he came down, and La Crosse and my family, he met everybody, and again, checked all the boxes, so thought, great. And then the weekend before I was supposed to go to report to my unit to deploy.
When was that?
So I graduated from college in May, I'm pretty sure, and we were deploying in June. So this is a matter of a few weeks. So at some point, we have to report to a unit in Madison, and I have like 3 days. And I just and he was talking about his softball game, and I thought, oh, that'd be so fun to come see it. It was the next night, you know. And then it was this wild, crazy, why don't you come see it? So within a matter of 2 hours, I bought a plane ticket to Alaska, packed up, drove down to Madison that night. So 2 hours, packed everything up. And I said, oh, by the way, I'm leaving early. Goodbye, Mom. Well, I did see everybody before I deployed. And so a last minute trip, went to Alaska to visit him. So why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because it reminds me of it foreshadows the conclusion of the relationship. So that's why I'm laughing. But continue.
Why does it?
I don't want to. Yeah, we got to get there before I can make the connection for everyone.
Okay. So I, looking back, yes, it was very exciting and adventurous for me. That's what I loved about it. And again, he was a great guy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So So I go there and check all the boxes, meet his friends. So it was really important because then I could actually picture his life in Alaska. He could picture my life, my home people, everything. So that was good. So then we get to know each other basically all throughout deployment and very intentionally. I mean, this is before FaceTime or Zoom, so we had Skype accounts.
What? With your glasses?
With my... No, I got LASIK.
Oh, you so had LASIK,
I didn't, yes, okay. I did not have...
She had these just huge framed glasses.
BCGs, birth control glasses. From... That is only in boot camp.
It was so funny, though. You should see the pictures of
it. Yeah, I
maybe we could post them in the show notes.
I should, yeah. I will. I looked very good. That's why he really liked me. So we get to know each other, and he is a great guy. He is so into me, so intentional, and I loved that about him, and he was a great guy. Why wouldn't I like him? And so it progressed, and then at some point, kind of early on in my deployment, I remember him asking, so can I ask you about the whole marriage thing? And I go,
because the way you're doing it, I'm just picturing you not saying it like that, but yet that was what was going on in your mind. So that's why I'm laughing.
Yeah, you know me well. Yeah, okay, basically, yes. In my head, I'm like, no. But in reality, what I was saying was, listen, I wouldn't be dating you if I couldn't see myself married to you. So from now on, I don't want to talk about marriage. I just want to be surprised. Isn't that crazy?
Warning flags. Warning signs are already apparent.
It's painful to say. But, okay, looking back, I didn't know that people wanted to be proposed to or excited about it or talked about it. I thought it just...
Have you ever seen a Hallmark movie?
No, not until I married you, which I could. Caught my fair share. So, no, I just thought... And really looking back, it really was like, if he is really into me, then that's good enough. I know that is sounds so crazy, but that's truly what I was thinking. So, and again, he was a great guy. I basically was like, I would be crazy not to like him, love him, want to marry him. Okay. So, anyways, then fast forward to my break. Everybody on deployment, when you're on deployment long enough, I think it has to be over 6 or 9 months, you get a 2-week leave. There was tumultuous things going on at home in my family. So I decided because it was deployment and deployment is stressful that I should avoid going home to walk into that chaos and I should go visit him in Alaska. It would be great, right? And you have to understand we were choosing not to be intimate before we were married. We were saving ourselves for the wedding. I mean, it was like, born again, virgin. but no, I am giving back my virginity to the Lord. So it was not about that. It was truly about getting to know him more. And so I flew in. This is right around February, actually, when the Green Bay Packers won the Super Bowl, because I was in Germany when some people were watching the game. So that's the time frame. And so it's wintertime in Alaska, because it's almost always wintertime in Alaska. And I get there, and he is so excited to see me, and I am just so nervous. And actually, like, we hung out that night, and it was, I just, looking back now, I was, I was nervous and actually homesick, and I didn't really realize it. But I know my godmother, I either talked to her text or phone, and she just said something like, Anna, why don't you come home? And I kind of cried. I was like, I want to. And you have to understand another red flag. I am not a homesick type of person. Why are you laughing?
Because it's definitely true.
I know that I actually wanted to go home versus explore. another warning sign. But again, it was deployment, so that's why I was feeling weird. And I was going through other stuff in deployment, you know, and other burnout stress type things. So it was, I could rationalize it as anything. So I buy another plane ticket the night before, but this time is to leave Alaska. So I leave.
That was the foreshadowing.
Exactly. The foreshadowing part of the last minute plane ticket.
Yeah, I should say the completion of the
foreshadowing. Yes, yes. So I go home for a week and have a great week. It was healing. Even the chaos that I was worried about, there was some resolution, so that was great. And towards the end of the week, things were wrapping up, and here's the thing. He was not crazy. I legitimately told my mom. I said, Mama, I was like, let's go ring shopping. I want to see what I like. I don't know what I like, and so I want to know. And I was getting really excited because all my friends were kind of getting engaged. Not all, but, you know, it was starting to become a thing. And I wanted the ring looking back. So anyways, I decided that. So we went ring shopping, and, oh, gosh, we have a kid up. All right, crisis semi-averted for now. We'll have to wrap this up quick. So we go ring shopping, and I find what I like. And literally within 20 minutes of getting home, I'm on my mom's computer, probably checking email or something, and I see this downloaded JPEG with Anna Ring as the .jpeg. It's the downloaded title. And I'm like, Mama, what is this? And this is exactly her. Oh, Anna, you weren't supposed to see that. Okay. Actually, no, it didn't say Anna Ring. It said engagement ring. So she could have passed it off as, oh, yeah, you know, Cindy's son sent that. You know, she sent it to me, the ring, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I go, well, I don't like it. I said, you need to get a hold of him and tell him what I found out that I liked. Remember, I set myself up for this. I didn't want to talk about anything wedding. I wanted to be surprised. And so far, surprise was not going good. So she go, no, you need to tell him. Tell him what I like. Have him return it. I don't know. And she goes, oh, Anna. She goes, he couldn't find anything in Alaska, and he couldn't find anything in Wisconsin. He searched all over, so he had that specially designed for you. Oh, my gosh. Okay, all right. Well, okay. I don't know. So, anyways, so I knew something was coming, so I had to decide in my mind how I felt about it. Mm-hmm. So I came to the really wise conclusion. One day, I think I'm sitting in my sister's apartment in Fond du Lac, and I literally say, if he asks me to marry him, I'll say, why not? Why are you laughing?
Well, you're laughing. Every day.
Okay. I didn't want to preface this that I'm laughing because it's ridiculous, and we at least laugh at things. But
I'm laughing because that was your wisdom that was come to you over hours of contemplation. Why not?
Why not? And it really was. He's a great guy. He checked all the boxes. He checked way more boxes than you did, for the record. And because he didn't have a record. So he...
You're throwing that in there like at this point.
Okay.
I should be somehow jealous at this point in our marriage.
Okay. I did mean to start off this podcast saying, this is not a funny situation. Wait, I hurt a lot of people. And
it didn't even get there yet. Why did you finish it before?
But I was super immature. So, okay, we're just going to continue. And we're tired. So we need to get to bed. Yes. So where was I? The ring? You're interviewing me. Your one job is to keep me on track.
Well, I'm laughing because of you laughing about your wisdom of why not?
Why not? So that's where
we're at. We're at why not.
Okay. I say that because I could legitimately not find a reason why I wouldn't marry him. Obviously I know now, but at the time I couldn't. So that's maybe a day before I leave. And then basically I fly out of and go back to Alaska for one more week. And basically one to two more days into my return to Alaska, we are going to go on a snow machine extravaganza trip because it's not snowmobiling up there.
It's snow machining?
I think so. Like that. So all of him and all his friends, you know, we load up the snow machines and we're going to this mountain in Alaska, and it was really cool. It's supposed to be really cool, and you know, we're doing really cool things. And he brings me to the top of a mountain at one point. I'm like, oh, cool, okay. Hope an avalanche doesn't come down on us. And then we're sitting up there and thought, okay, we'll go back. So we go back down. Apparently, at the time, they were supposed to, because at the bottom it was a lake, and they set up this thing for ice fishing. And the whole day they were obsessed with this one. They were putting, okay, you know what you'd use for weed killers? That like the spray thing? Bottles, yeah. But the actual, like, the gun mm-hmm. with the barrel, it was black, and they were putting it into they kept spraying it into the ice hole water. And I thought, what is that? And they go, oh, we're trying to attract fish. And I go, oh, I've never heard of that. Okay. Well, apparently, what they were trying to figure out was that was supposed to be used to stamp or to write in the bottom of the lake or, you know, on the snow, marry me. But they didn't put antifreeze in it. So it kept freezing, but I didn't know. So finally, he just brings me to the top of the mountain. He gets down on one knee. I hardly remember this. All I remember is staring at the ring and thinking, I still don't like it. What?
Continue.
Okay. I still don't like it. How do I pretend that I like it?
So what were you feeling about this time? Okay. I know you're saying what you're thinking, but what were you feeling?
I was feeling the pressure of all of his friends down there waiting for us and thinking, oh my gosh. If I say no, or not, why not? Where do I go? Like, I'm stranded in Alaska. You thought that I talked about this. I did talk about the engagement and my people pleasing, but that really was, I was more worried about what they would think than anything else. Mm-hmm. So I don't really remember feeling a lot. So after, I don't even know what he said. I don't think it was a lot, but I think, because I was thinking my own things. And he said, so what do you say? Like, probably, I don't know, 30 seconds or whatever. Felt like a minute. And I said, sure. And he says, is that a yes? And I said, why not? And he heard, hell yeah. Because he took it. Now, looking back, my brother and sister and a few other people told him, don't ask Anna to marry you. This is not a good idea. Not on deployment. Don't ask her. And he said, Anna's super smart and thoughtful. I mean, I did do a lot of thinking. If it's not right, she'll know to say yes. But I
figured. Yes. No.
So we go down and we face them and they're like, what are you saying? And then I showed them the ring and, you know, yay. So we pack everything up from that day. I hear about the blunder with the marry me situation with the fishing bait. And we get in the car, and I go, you know what? Let's not tell anybody right away. And I said, you know, I'm on deployment. I don't want all of our time swept up into talking to people and telling them about this. Let's just keep it on the DL. And you may be thinking, like, I was not conniving. I literally was that oblivious to these warning signs. I literally mm-hmm. thought everything from deployment rationalized everything. Hence why you don't ask somebody big questions now. I know this, but at the time I didn't. I was praying every day. I was super close with God. There was nothing in my life besides deployment and besides the messed up home life stuff that I didn't really totally deal with yet and process through, like, everything else was fine. So we get in the car, and then, I don't know, at some point we do start telling people, and nobody said, I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think so, but we did start, we told a few people before I left Alaska. And then we got right at making plans. We're like, well, why don't we get married right after we get back from deployment? Why not? If we're going to start our lives together, let's do it. So I was going to get back in July, and we scheduled the wedding for August 13th. And
what time in July were you getting back?
Well, I think I was getting back end of June. So I would have been home in a month and a half. Yeah. So
you're a big one for these short engagements.
I know, no, honey.
I shouldn't say short engagements, but short time together before the wedding.
Yeah, well, it's ish. We were together for like 4 years.
You know what I mean.
I know what you mean, but they don't know what we mean. Because we're going to do our story later.
Oh, okay.
So where was I? So... Planning the wedding, but I apparently at one time I'm like, I don't really care about the invites, you do them, you know, and all that. And so I'm getting ready to go back, and I just remember things like my flight got delayed in Texas before I was about to go back overseas. And I remember him thinking, maybe I should come down. And I'm like, no, you stay up there. No, we got to save money for the wedding. You know, again, all these warning signs, but that I just didn't want him around necessarily. But the show goes on, and I go back to Iraq, and I tell everybody we're engaged. And they go, oh, wow. And I go, yeah, it'll be hard, but we've got God. That was my response. And
what about that? What were you thinking would be hard at the time?
I just thought marriage is hard. You know, and people are like, oh, wow. Be like, yeah, you know, just so you know, I know marriage is hard. And this is quick, but we've got God, so we can get through it. You know, I wasn't thinking it'll be hard because he's a douchebag. I was thinking it'll be hard because marriage is hard. And, yeah, we'll have things to figure out, but we've got God. So, fast forward through deployment. Oh, I do have to rewind to this story. Okay, before I leave Alaska, we're going to church. After church, we're going to go to
So where is this in the timeline with you being engaged?
Okay, I'm already engaged.
Okay.
We go to church, and we leave church, and we're going to go to this snow machine festival. So we bring clothes to change into. We stop at a gas station, and I change.
I remember this. I don't want to interrupt you. Continue.
So we drive away, and like 5 minutes down the road, and all of a sudden I look down and I say, oh no, I lost my ring. So we pull over, we search the car.
This was because the ring was not the ring sized was yet, correct? Either,
yes, the ring was too big, but we wanted to wear it, you know. And, you know, I love that ring. We pull over. We can't find it in the car. So we think, oh, it has to be back, probably in the bathroom. So he starts speeding back. He gets pulled over. You were, like, judging me for laughing, but you're laughing.
I'm laughing. And it's not even a good... I don't know how to say it. It's like a
movie scene.
It is. And I'm laughing because it's, like, one of them Hallmark movies where... everything's going wrong.
Yes. And you think that and doesn't really happen? Poor guy. Yes.
Yes. Continue.
I know. I am not the victim. Or the, you know, he is the victim here. Okay, I know that. So he gets pulled over because he still has Wisconsin license plate, and he never switched him over to Alaska. So we're sitting there. The ring is possibly being stolen right before our eyes. We don't, you know. And he ends up getting a ticket for not changing his license plate over. I think he got pulled over because he didn't have a seatbelt on, because he was just focused on getting back. But in the meantime, I go, okay, even though I didn't like the ring, I knew I needed to act upset. You know, so I was like, okay, what would somebody who
likes the ring say?
I go, you know, and I put my hand on his shoulder. It's just a ring. We can't take it to heaven with us anyways. You know, so, and you could just see him seething, like, just a ring. It turns out the ring was pretty pricey.
It was a custom ring, honey.
It was a custom ring. It was 5 times the price that you paid for my ring. Yeah. And the only reason, okay, so that's the only reason I know that is because we got it sized, but it had to be sent in. So he shipped it to Iraq for me, and he had to get it insured for how much it was. So I did see how much it was. And But even then, I had no concept. I had no concept of wedding rings, engagements, all this. So, it's just a ring. Okay, I kid you not. We drive in. We search where we pumped gas. It wasn't there. I searched in the gas station bathroom. It wasn't there. I get outside. He is, like, tearing. He is about to tear those back seats out. And I'm like, I gotta act upset. And I go, okay, God. And I think very subconsciously I prayed this. You know, I don't love it, but he does. Or maybe conscious. But please help us find it. And I kid you not, my eyes just scanned over to, I was standing where, you know, the pumps are at the gas station and then where people park. So just picture an average length of that. Mm-hmm. In the snow. Because it was all snow. There's no concrete. My eyes scan over to this spot. I walk over it. It must have fallen out, rolled. Somebody drove over it. It was impacted in the snow, and I found it. So, woohoo, praise God. See, it's a sign, you know. Our marriage is off to a great start, our engagement.
Destined to get run over.
Yeah. And so then the next day, destined to get run over.
I was wondering if you were going to
catch it. Or lost, you know, yeah. So the next day we go to the jewelers and they are like oohing and ah. Look at it. He goes, I don't think there's no such thing as a perfect diamond, but if there is, this is as flawless as they come. And I just remember, like, I have no idea what I'm looking at. So he's super excited. Inside, I'm just very going through the motions. And I love the sparkle of it. Don't get me wrong. Diamonds are beautiful. But I'm back in Iraq. I get the ring. I'm wearing the ring. I like it. I'm happy. I'm happy about it. I'm engaged. He loves me super well. Sends me great gifts. Like, not expensive or extravagant. Just very intentional dating gifts. Okay. So we're planning things, all that. He decides to buy a new car, a Subaru. And I remember thinking, ooh, okay, I don't really like that. Okay. And he's going full steam ahead planning our future. And I'm like, okay, that's awesome. Great. But again, I'm deployed. So that's his job. My job is to just stay focused in Iraq. Mm-hmm. So at some point about... a few weeks before I get home, we decide he's going to be done in Alaska for now.
What was he doing in Alaska?
He worked at Wells Fargo, but he didn't like that. He like a good so job at Wells Fargo.
He was already up for a change.
He led backpacking hunting trips, and he had a sea captain license. So that's really more of what he loved to do. So he's a really cool guy doing really cool things. Again, I'd be crazy not to like him. So I So, but he was willing, nothing that he was set in stone there. So we decided we would, he would move to Wisconsin, we would get married, figure things out, and probably move back to Alaska together. But let me kind of get reacclimated. So he packs all of his life up in a freight train cargo thing. Mm-hmm. All of his equipment, his hunting, his bikes, mountain bikes, road bikes, really high quality gear, everything. And he ships it to Wisconsin. It gets stolen.
All of it?
All of it. And it's insured at like maybe $13 a pound.
Oh, he and it's all lightweight equipment.
All lightweight, like $2,000 bikes and all that. Okay,
So where were you guys at in the relationship?
Okay, I found out about that, I think, after I called it off. But he ships it out. And so we're like full steam ahead. So, okay, now I'm going to be... His stuff's on his way to Wisconsin. He's on his way to Wisconsin. I'm in Kuwait. He might even be in Wisconsin at this point. I actually think he was. And we're working at Sturgeon Bay. He got a job there. And like on the boat deck things, the bay.
You know. The ships.
Yeah. So I'm in Kuwait and I go, it's one of our last nights. I go to the chow hall and I sit down by one of my favorite staff sergeants, and he's like, Tennyson, you're getting married. And I say the line, it'll be tough, but we've got God, Sergeant, don't worry. And he goes, can I just be honest with you? I've been deployed, and I don't think it's a good idea to make any major life decisions within 6 months to a year of deployments. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, that's for everybody else, you know, not me. And so I was like, okay, thanks, you know. And I think what I felt that he said that is what we're engaged. Like, there's no turning back, you know, like, no way. That's not an option. We can do this. So I'm out walking underneath the stars in Kuwait, and I look up, and I just, this idea, it was the first time that it hit me that I had a choice to marry. And I said, I don't have to marry him. And then I said, I don't even want to marry him. And you know how they say, you know that you know? Mm-hmm. I knew that I knew. At that, I did not know till that moment. But the whole idea of not getting married was just wild. Almost not an option. It was like, no way, no way. But I knew.
You felt like you already made so many decisions led you here. You can't.
And I mean, his stuff's on the way to my house, essentially. Like, no, it's not an option. His family is, I loved his family. My family was set on him. Okay. So I was like, you know what, Tennyson, shake it off. Go take a shower. Clear your head. So I go into the shower hut, I look in the mirror, and I just look in the mirror and I go, I'm not going to marry him. And I was like, I should be sad about this. So I was like, I like tried to cry one, like tried to like squeeze out a tear, and I did. I got like one tear. And I'm like, I better tell him to not put another down payment on the DJ. What?
That's what you thought about was the DJ.
Yeah, we were supposed to put $1,000 more down. I didn't want to waste any more money on the wedding. What?
It's just funny that was...
Very practical.
Very practical. And not, I better tell him. You know, most people would be like thinking about that, but...
Well, you know, that wasn't my way to tell him. So I think I called my mom first. I go into the USO, which is, gives amenities to families. And helps you connect with your families. And so I think you could call for free. So I call my mom and I go, Mama, you know, just so you know, I'm not going to get married. And she goes, oh, Anna, just come home, figure it out, get you some counseling. You guys can do some counseling. You'll figure it out. It'll be fine. And she was right. Mm-hmm. You know, Anna, just come home. You're tired. Just come home.
Had a lot of change.
But she didn't know what I knew. And I go, no, I know. Uh-uh. And I knew, like, for as much of a people pleaser was, I just knew. I was like, now that I knew, I couldn't unknow it. And so then I call him right away and I go, hey, listen, don't put the paint down on the DJ. You're making this funny.
You're not... just looking at me and laughing. Because I'm just like.
Because you're an empathy guy. You are probably feeling, I don't know, maybe not. What are you feeling?
I don't know. I usually only feel when somebody feels love. And then I cry. But to feel rejection does not make me cry. For the person.
Gosh, okay. So you can feel the love for yourself that was available. So, and he goes, and he kind of said the same thing. Okay, Anna, it's okay. Come home. We'll figure this out. I go, nope, nothing to figure out. I have my mind made up. Mm-hmm. What else do you say? You know, I'm not going to, like, here's the thing. I was never leading him on in a deceitful way.
Because you didn't know.
I didn't know. So once I knew, I could not be deceitful at all. I mean, so I get home and honestly, my homecoming was super kind of horrible because my family was always mad at me because
they already had other dresses purchased.
That's true.
Because I started to come into this story was my brother and my oldest brother and her oldest sister are married. And I think we told that multiple times before. And so I was down visiting my brother, Rob, at his house.
Who's married to my sister, Maggie.
Yes, yeah. The two that I'm referencing. And I was visiting down there at their house, and Maggie was showed me. I was like, what's the dress for? And she's like, that's for Anna's wedding. And I was like, Anna's getting married? Because I had no clue.
Although you were invited to the wedding.
I don't remember
the invite. With your parents.
I don't remember the invite.
Connie, Don, and Michael and Guest.
Oh, well, apparently I was invited, but I don't remember the invite. And so I was like, oh, Anna's getting married? And so, I don't know, it didn't register a whole lot then, more than like, oh, okay, I didn't see that coming, because it was sudden from my view, you know?
Yeah.
Even though we didn't connect that much. But
didn't you think, oh, no, I don't have a chance?
No, that was, oh, okay, maybe, later. That was when I heard you called off the wedding, and I was like, oh, there's still a chance for us. And, like, I didn't even think I liked her at the time.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so, so you did, so that reminds me, I had all my bridesmaids buy dresses. They went and tried dresses on, and I picked them out from overseas. They, like, sent me pics or Skyped me during it, and I didn't buy my wedding dress. I feel bad, but during our wedding, Michael and my wedding, we didn't make people buy bridesmaids dress. So I feel like at least I didn't make
one. You only had to buy one.
No,
you
know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So when I get home into my homecoming, picture this. This woman is saying, I love you. I can't wait to get married. Blah, blah, blah. Nope. We're not getting married. I don't even want to date you. No. Mm-hmm. Like, I looked crazy. I probably looked crazy. And I go, oh, by the way, I decided I'm going on a trip. I'm backpacking in Europe with my friend from deployment. Mm-hmm. I think he thought that I was going to go run off. Like, I was boy crazy, cheating on him, found somebody else. It was an excuse to get back with somebody else. And I seriously was like, no, I don't want anybody. Like, if breaking up and being with somebody you don't really want to truly be like, this is the way it is. Mm-hmm. No, I was like so done. So my family really I don't want to say he painted me in a bad light, but they saw his heartbreak. And because it was my ignorance caused tons of pain. So within this time, I call off the wedding. He finds out that his whole shipment got jacked. He wouldn't get refunded, diddly squat for what it was. And even kind of how heartless I was like, I had some stuff in there. You think I can get it back? It's like horrible. Like that
just
really
human. It's very human. It's a very human thought.
I had like North Face jacket and some boots and like all nice. All my winter gear was up there. So I mean, but okay. And then, but I gave him the ring back. You know, that was hard for me.
Probably non-refundable because it was a custom ring.
Yeah, what do you do with that? Oh gosh, I feel so bad. But you can probably resell the diamond. So, anyways. And so we tried to get together a few times, and it just got to the point where he was heartbroken, and I was just done having sympathy because I thought, you know,
I already told you.
Yeah, I already told you. And so finally what I ended up saying to him was, this sounds bad, but in a way, it's not me. It is you. But you need to know that there's nothing you could or should do differently about you. Like, it's not because you need to change. You just deserve to be with somebody that loves you as much as you love them. Mm-hmm. And long term, you deserve that love. And you think this is what it is, but it's not. And honestly, I am finally loving you the best right now by letting you go. And I mean, obviously there was issues with me, you know, but it really wasn't like, it wasn't me, you know. So anyways, and that was very hard for him to understand. But finally, one of the last times we talked, and actually one of the last times we talked, then you and I talked on the phone afterwards.
I remember that.
Yeah, I was supposed to meet him. So, but that was a year before we actually started dating, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I spent a lot of time up north healing. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go into my story. But I did not leave him for you. But you were just a friend in my life at that point. Mm-hmm. I really did like you, though. Mm-hmm. But you were before I called off the engagement. So, or you were after. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, anyways, I guess, I don't know. I don't want to ramble.
Yeah.
Did I wrap that up good enough?
So, I called it off. It seems a little unclear to me, the sequence of, he comes back, you say it's done, you meet up a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
You tell him this is, you know, it is you. Was that here in the Fox Valley area?
Yeah, yeah. This is all in Appleton, basically.
Okay. And then Appleton. What happens after that with him? Like,
honestly, we stopped talking because it wasn't good to talk anymore, mm-hmm. and because there wasn't really anything to talk about. And I literally fly out on the day we're supposed to get married. I fly out. I go on my backpacking trip. And, okay, so here's where I'm at. I have his mom calling me, telling me how heartbroken he is. And me literally being like, I don't know what to tell you. I know. Like, it's that really sucks. It's hard, but I'm not doing good either. And I've got, like, I can't focus on him. Like, that's done. I think she really was hoping that she'd talk some sense into me. And then you, at one point you start to get annoyed and calloused and like, come on, grow up. Like, then the anger sets in, you know, the different parts of grief. I think he stays in Sturgeon Bay for a while. And then I honestly don't know what happens with him. But for me, I get mad at God. I like, how can I trust you, God? I was praying every day. I was fasting. I was serving you on deployment. How could this happen? And it took a long time to repair that trust with God. And I mean, now I look back and I think God was screaming at me. It was my issues of just stuffing so many things under the rug that made me totally ignorant to what was truly going on inside of me. And, because my eating stuff kicked up, like there were definitely signs that something wasn't right. And then at one point I just remember thinking like, oh, two things. One was a dream. I had a dream and it said, I was at my wedding with him and somebody, and the pastor says, you know, does anybody think you shouldn't get married? Raise your hand now. And I remember thinking, I don't. Mm-hmm. You know, but, and then I woke up from the dream and I thought, oh, that was a crazy dream. You know, and then I remember after I called it off thinking, we could have got married. It would have been fine. He would have loved me really well. I think I would have figured, like, I would have grown a love almost in, like, an arrangement marriage type thing. Mm-hmm. Where the fondness, the closeness would have came. But I also could see myself in counseling 20 years in the road and, like, literally breaking down and saying, I never loved you. But, like, choosing to love him, but, you know, him being like, what is going on? What's wrong with our marriage? And then, like, that bringing heartbreak on him in a whole different level. Mm-hmm. And then, like, that's years of deceit.
That's way more.
Yeah.
Way more damaging.
Yeah. So I knew it was right, but it was really super difficult and hard. So I wanted to, at that point, I was looking up how to get a job on cruise line ships. I wanted out. I just wanted to run away and escape everything. And looking back, I did not unpack from anything from my deployment yet at this point. Mm-hmm. I was like the engagement like just sucked in my attention. I really too was in some ways still worried about soldiers coming back because I felt very burdened for them with suicide. Mm-hmm. So that, but like me and taking care of myself in a lot of ways, like deep emotional stuff wasn't there. But I knew God was calling me to take a class at church, but I really wanted to cut town and leave. But I met with Pastor, actually Don Nichols, and I sat down with him and I walked away and I knew God was saying, you cannot leave. You got to take this class at church. And the bottom line was, how did I almost get into an engagement with somebody I didn't want? I need to figure this out. Like, mm-hmm. I felt I was ignorant then and I can't do anything, but I don't want to ever break somebody's heart mm-hmm. again. That is not right. And that's fair. And actually what I realized is my people pleasing was sinful. I thought I was doing it to love them, to make them happy, and actually I was hurting people. So that finally woke me up to how sinful my people-pleasing was because how much it hurt people. Mm-hmm. So now that we're not laughing about things, I truly, truly was repentant and sorry, and I don't mm-hmm. take that lightly. And I just really wanted the best for him. And so that kind of wraps up. So I stayed home. I interned. That's when I interned at church and made $300 that year, I think, on my tax returns. And it was a really hard year. Really hard. It was one of the lowest of lows. So mm-hmm. then next time we can pick up with our story and how.
And so what year was this? Was this 2012, 2013?
We started. I got deployed. I graduated. So this was 2011 because I got deployed and graduated in 2010. So
the year would have been that you interned 2011 to 2012.
12, yep.
Yes, because we started dating 2012. 2013. So, yeah, after you got done interning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we'll have to pick up that story. Did I miss anything? Do you have any questions?
No, I think that's everything I knew about.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is. I think you did a really good job interviewing.
Oh, honey. You're so affirming.
Kids did a really good job of
interrupting us multiple times.
But. All right. Well, if you have any questions, let us know. And I do not think calling off engagements is fun or funny. I do think you can laugh at certain things. Hindsight, once you heal from them. So.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please give Rise and Climb a 5-star review or share it with someone you think who would equally enjoy it. If you also feel so led, you can support this podcast with either a one-time donation or monthly subscription to help pay for sound and editing equipment that helps produce more kingdom-driven and relevant to the times content. God bless.